Okay, so nitrogen is obviously an important component to potato production systems. Potatoes are particularly sensitive to nitrogen. I would say more so than most other crops I've worked with. When we have deficiencies of potatoes, we obviously have reduced yields, but more importantly, we have diminished tuber quality. However, excess nitrogen or even fluctuating nitrogen levels can cause additional yield and tuber quality issues, and as well as we have environmental concerns. We have an environmental quality component to this project. I'm not going to report on that today, but we are looking at nitrate leaching and possibly in the future looking at N2O emissions. So we have leaching losses. Potential in our soils, it would be primarily leaching losses. In Idaho, we typically grow potatoes on sandy soils. Very rarely do we broach into too much of a clay loam, but almost everything's a sandy loam to coarser texture. And so we have tremendous leaching problems. We have several areas in the state with high nitrates in the groundwater, and it's identified as a serious problem. And it's one of the motivating forces for us to look at the controlled release fertilizers in our systems. Typically, what our growers do, the vast majority of the Idaho growers apply somewhere between 25% to 50% of the nitrogen pre-emergence, and it takes about 3 weeks or so for potatoes to emerge. And so generally, that application can occur anywhere from just before planting to up to the time that they go through and hill the plants. The remainder is applied through fertigation, which is a time-consuming, labor-intensive process that many growers would really like to get rid of. Time during the season is a major issue, and if we could cut down the time, they're highly interested in this project because of that reason. They could, I wouldn't say care less about the nitrates in the groundwater, but this is by far a bigger issue for them. From a practical standpoint, they do care about the nitrates in the groundwater too, but that's their motivating force for supporting this project. So we began looking at polymer-coated urea, particularly ESN, which is an agrium product. Stole this slide from Alan's database, but ESN, I was kind of hoping John and Jerry would go before me so I wouldn't have to explain all this stuff and I'd focus more on my data. But essentially, the polymer coat, it's urea, it's coated, so the percentage is slightly lower just to the weight of the urea. But as water moves in through the coating, nitrogen will dissolve, hydrolyze, and go through the same processes, but it's just a slower process that's temperature, what's called temperature-controlled diffusion. So when temperatures in the soil are cool, this reaction is slow, and when temperatures warm up as the plant grows, which is the ideal scenario, is that we would match our nitrogen need with our nitrogen release. Carl Rosen has some data that kind of matches up. He did some tests on release rates, and of course we have many end release end need curves, and it seems to, when we match those up in our soils, the timing seems to be best for us to apply the ESN at emergence, and that'll become apparent here in a moment. So the objectives of our study were to look at nitrogen use efficiency, tuber yield and quality, and then of course nutrient losses, which I'm not going to report on today. We do have some positive results. The data is complicated though, and I just don't have time to cover that in 15 minutes. That's a whole talk for next year, especially since we're having the meeting in October and there's no way I'll have my potatoes out of the ground. As a matter of fact, this data I got, we finished it this morning, so we harvest very late. We had four replicates in a randomized complete block design. We took a variety of measurements. I'm not going to show you the petioles, which is another issue that's very interesting that we won't have time to hit on today, but of course, we'll talk about yield and quality primarily, those third and fourth items there. We had a three-year study. I'm not going to show you the first-year data. The first-year data showed promise. We had one location, limited number of treatments, and it was a promising ESN performed as well as the grower standard practice. We've had 2 years at three locations. I'll show you all three locations combined for 2006. Unfortunately, we lost one site in 2007. The grower harvested it a month early. They never bothered to call us. And then I've got another site, and I'm working through the data. We just didn't have much of a nitrogen response at that site at all, and the data is complicated, so I elected not to show you that data today. But in the interest of being honest, that data the ESN is at least as good as the grower standard practice in that study. Just with no nitrogen response, I'm not sure I want to focus on that data too much. We have five rates, essentially looking at a recommended N rate based on University of Idaho recommendations, and then we've got 33, 67, 100%, and 133% of that recommendation. And so it varies based on location. We would put more fertilizer on in Rupert than we would put on in Blackfoot. And so we elected to go through this method. If you want numbers, our recommended rate hovers right around 250 to 270. So we're at, you know, one-third, two-thirds full rate and a 133% rate in comparison. We have three fertilizer timing fertilizer applications, and you'll need to get these codes down. I've got regular urea, which I'm calling R, at emergence, and then we've got regular urea, which is split applied. That's my grower standard practice. That RS will be our grower standard practice. And then we've got coated urea at emergence, which is again based on Carl Rosen's work. And then just for fun, just because I knew my growers were going to ask about it, we threw in a pre-plant application, which, you know, would be desirable from a labor standpoint. But we only did that at the 67% rate, just for comparison. We'll show you that data as well. Typical plots, small plot, 12 by 40 plots, harvested in the center of those. Get into the data. This is the total yield in the 2006. Again, we had no interaction by location, so the data's pooled. We had similar responses, surprisingly similar responses at all three locations, although the magnitudes were quite a bit different. But you can see here that, now what I've done is I've subtracted my check plots with zero, and actually we don't have zero nitrogen because we did apply nitrogen with the phosphorus as MAP, and so they did get some nitrogen, not a lot. We tried to minimize that as much as possible. But what you're looking at is the yield increase over the check plot, essentially. And you've got all of these graphs are going to be laid out the same way, so let me just take a minute to do this for you. So this is urea applied all at once at emergence, which is not a recommended practice, but we wanted to include this for comparative purposes because that's how we're assuming that we're going to apply the ESN. This middle group of bars here, that's my grower standard practice at the four rates, split applied throughout, you know, 25% applied early, and then the remainder applied throughout the growing season. This next set of bars here, the white colored bars, is my ESN at emergence. And then this last bar over here, that's the ESN applied pre-plant. And you can see that we've got significant differences over the check for the grower standard practice in 2006 at the 67% rate. So what it means is we probably were a little heavier on nitrogen that year for whatever reason overall. And then if you look at the ESN though, we have numerically higher numbers. Of course, these two are not statistically different from one another, but numerically the ESN performed at least as well as, and that's honestly what my growers want to know is can we cut out all that work during the season, and so as good as is certainly they're happy with, particularly since it's numerically higher. And notice that the ESN is at the 67% rate, and at the grower standard practice is better than the 100% rate. We're a little disappointed. We were kind of hoping that Carl was wrong and that we could apply this pre-plant, but it just looks pretty consistent this year and last that this pre-plant application doesn't work too well for us, or doesn't work as well. Of course, total yield's important, but to be honest with you, this is my 07 data. We have not run the statistics on this, so we just harvested about 3 weeks ago, and of course grading it takes time and all that, and we did not have time to run the statistics. But again, you know, it doesn't take much of an imagination to say that these are probably not statistically different across here. Again, it looks like there might be a slight advantage to the ESN if you pooled that data and do, which we probably will. There possibly would be an advantage there. But again, my growers are looking at this and saying, hey, this is as good as that what we're doing now. And even though ESN is a little more expensive, if we can cut the rate a little bit, which was what we feel like we can do, they can come in at a similar cost with less labor. And again, same trend, I'm probably not statistically different here, but the pre-plant application does not seem to be doing much for us. This is just the Aberdeen location, as I mentioned, and you'll see that total yield-wise, we're not seeing much of an advantage here for even split applying for the grower standard. That's not an unusual finding. However, when we begin looking at the quality, which is for us, most of our growers are growing fresh packed potatoes in eastern Idaho. And U.S. number ones is by far more important than total yields, which is what I've been focusing on. This is the 06 data. Again, the ESN looks very, very good, particularly at that 67% rate numerically is the highest. And so we're pleased with that. All four of the ESN treatments were statistically better than the check, including the pre-plant one. So that looks really good. When we look at the 07 data on quality, again, no statistics here, but again, there seems to be ESNs eking above, and statistically, there's probably not much difference there. Just looking at the gathering of data, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of difference, but those lower rates of ESN certainly look to be good treatments. Size-wise, I don't have the 07 data. It was a little confounded, and I elected not to show it, but in 06, we had nice size responses with the ESN over the grower standard practice. So not only are we getting with the ESN treatments, not only did we get good U.S. number ones, but we also didn't drop our size, which on our grower standard practice, sometimes we see that. We can get good total yields, but sometimes our size takes a hit. And then what the growers are mostly interested in is this is dollars per hectare on the return. When we take into account all the data that I'm not showing you, including specific gravities, hollow heart, brown center, and all of those things, and providing incentives for the size, U.S. number one percentages, there's a number of factors that are built into that. But in the interest of time, I won't show all that to you. This obviously changes based on growers' contracts, but we picked an average contract. And you can see that the 67% ESN was significantly higher. And I guess Trent forgot to, and I didn't catch that. We didn't show that. But this number here is significantly higher than all four of these grower standard practice treatments. And it's the only one that is at the 67% rate. So we're excited about that. So a conclusion is that ESN appears to be a good alternative for end use in potatoes, particularly at a reduced end rate. You know, we think that that 67% just continues to show potentially a good response. However, it's also Don and I were just talking about his data, and he's got data from 07 that doesn't look so good for the same cultivar. This was Russet Burbank, and so in different environments, this is good data, good applicable to Idaho, but we certainly think that because we're playing around with release rates, that we need to look at each location needs its own evaluation. I don't know if we have time for questions or not. Questions?
One question.
Time's up. Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.